Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 13. We're just going to read one verse of Scripture this morning. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Very familiar Scripture probably to many of you. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. You feel the power behind that, don't you? Glory to God. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Worship him for a moment, church. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today in the name of Jesus, I already sense a mighty move of your Spirit that has begun, and I pray you'll keep us sensitive to the will and way of the Holy Spirit in this service today as he executes in this service the will of Jesus Christ. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory today, Lord Jesus, for whatever you do. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The subject I'm going to minister on today, I didn't really give you a title, but the Holy Spirit started moving so powerfully right after I read the Scripture. I want to preach on the unchanging Christ. I read an article this week in a computer magazine. It was an article about how man's knowledge had increased over the past 200 years, technologically in specific. And the study showed that from 1800 to 1900, it took all 100 years for man to double his knowledge. The article went on to say from 1900 to 1940, it took approximately 40 years for man to double his knowledge. From 1940 to 1960, it went down to 20 years. And then from the period of 1960 to 1990, it was down to 5 years. That every 5 years, man's technological knowledge is doubling. And the article went on to project that by the year 2025, man's knowledge would be doubling every year, technologically speaking. It's seemingly headed to where it will be limitless what man can achieve technologically if Jesus Christ does not return before then. Along with these great technological advances, though, they've crossed over into the spiritual realm of mankind. And that because of mankind's great technological abilities, most of the secular world is now beginning to believe that they can actually make their own way with God. Much of the church is now believing that through human effort, because of man's wisdom, that we as weak, frail human beings can affect a change in how we live and how we think and what we crave and desire. With that in mind, it has led much of the church to man-based systems to affect a change in our lives. There's one thing that is certain in the world anyway, and the information I read in this computer magazine proves it out. Change is going to happen. Change is going to happen. Things are going to change in this world before we complete this church service. But just because the world can so rapidly affect changes technologically and how it accomplishes what it wants to, which is man-based. It does not mean that man can achieve a right standing with God through his great intellect and through his abilities. And that's why so many programs are coming into the church today. Because people want to change. Especially people that are bound by sin. Sin is such a horrible thing that I've always believed, two great revelations that the church needs in an ongoing basis. Number one, we need a revelation of how horrible sin is. How degrading it is, because none of us realize how horrible it is. I dare say that were we to be honest with ourselves, and this is going to be a little bit uncomfortable, that there's a little section in all of us that believes we can handle a certain amount of sin. I believe that's due to the fall in our sin nature. We really believe that. And we can't. We can't. That's why God hates sin. That's why God hates sin. He alone sees what it does to the creation that he loves so very, very much. He sees how sin pulls mankind down and changes mankind from goodness into evilness. He sees how sin takes mankind and puts him on a path of total destruction. And anybody who is on that path, and I need to say it better than I was going to say it. Let me say it this way. Anybody who is without Christ and on that path of destruction knows they need help. And here is, they know they need a change. They know that something needs to be done in their heart and life. And here's where the church has erred over the past 40 or 50 years. When people come to church, they need to see the power of God. The church has become so busy trying to appeal to the world and become like the world that I'm going to tell you something. We've actually turned them off. Because really, there's not much difference between what you see in a local bar and what you see going on in what's purported to be the Church of Jesus Christ. It's a party. It's good singing. It's laser light shows. The world can do that. When that poor lost sinner comes to the Church of the Living God, they don't need entertainment. They don't need to be impressed with talent. They need to experience something that is not of this world. They need to experience the power of Almighty God. And God help the church that doesn't provide that. Because it's not really even a church. I want to say that again. It's not a church if the Holy Spirit is not present and moving. And the Holy Spirit will not move through a man-made agenda or through a man-made program. And you must understand that after Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and rose from the grave and ascended unto heaven, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Yes, he's coming again. But he said, until I come again, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter, a helper, if you will, one called to be with you. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, executes the will and purpose of Jesus Christ in this earth. He is the power of God manifested now through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And his power is so available. And it's the only power that will change a human heart. That's why when the poor alcoholic comes to church wanting to get off alcohol, and we offer him a 12-step program or psychological counseling. We're doing him the greatest disservice, and we're making the biggest mockery of the cross of Jesus Christ that could ever be made. Because only the power of God can change a human heart. I got to say this way. There's no, I'm not going to try to be sweet about it. It's an offense to Jesus Christ when the church offers something other than the power of the Holy Spirit to change a harder life. It's an affront to Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. The church should have the power of Almighty God flowing in it. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That means don't hurt him. We little realize how sensitive the Holy Spirit is. He can be pushed away so very, very easily. And when the church, what's supposed to be the church of Jesus Christ, comes and tells a poor sinner, you can change your heart and you can change your life by speaking in tongues. You can change your heart, you can change your life by letting us dunk you in a tank of water as we're going to have a baptismal service this morning. There's nothing in that water that saves a human being. And when we tell them, shake the pastor's hand or sign a card and you'll be all right, and they go, they leave the church where the power of God should be unchanged, not finding anything different than what they found out in the world. The church's greatest offering to the world, and I need to say it better than that, I'm not saying this very well this morning, the only thing we've got to offer that poor sin-bound, hell-bound sinner is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Our talent will not deliver the sinner. Our programs will not deliver the sinner. But telling them to put their faith in Jesus Christ will send the power of the Holy Spirit into that human heart. And the Holy Spirit will make changes that you and I can never make. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He'll impart to us the power of God. And that's what we should be offering. That's all we've got to offer. That's all we need to offer. That's all we should be offering people when they come to our churches. And you know what? If churches would learn this, it would so take the pressure off of them. You know, really, they're out trying to do everything in the world. Everything like the world. Sign a card, shake her hand, come see our laser light show, come to our bakery, come have some Starbucks coffee in the foyer of our sanctuary. Sit and watch the service on TV if you want to. We want to make you comfortable when you come to our church. It's not our mission to make folks comfortable. Really? If we're doing it right and a sinner comes into church, he's going to feel like Saddam Hussein at a Green Beret picnic. Really? Because that's the convicting power. Because man needs that convicting power, which is a mighty form of God's grace, to convince that sinner you need a Savior. To convince that sinner you can't change your life. But we point them, here's where the church messes up. The Holy Spirit will convict, and then what do we offer them? Here's a 12-step program. Here's 40 days of purpose. And it brings no deliverance. There's nothing supernatural in those type of things. But when you lead them to the cross of Christ and you tell them through his shed blood, his power, the Holy Spirit, will come into your life and he will make changes that we cannot make. He will provide and impart to us the delivering power that Jesus Christ won on the cross. And with a world and a church that's changing by the second, it gives me great joy this morning to announce Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Glory to God.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in that scripture this morning. The same. What do you mean? I'm talking about he hasn't changed one iota since the day he walked this earth. I'm talking about in spirit and what he wants to do for mankind. He's changed a lot in some other ways. He's got a glorified body now. But when he walked this earth, the spirit of what he came to do and the Holy Spirit that operated through him is the same Holy Spirit that's flowing through this church right now. Jesus Christ, the same. The same Jesus that opened blinded eyes. The same Jesus that raised the dead. The same Jesus that forgave sins. The same Jesus that condemned the religions of his day for trying to look to something other than him. The same. The one confidence this world can have that is never going to change is going to be the person and love of Jesus Christ toward fallen humanity. And God will not change him to suit mankind. But that's what the church wants. They want to project on Jesus what we want him to be. Rather than succumbing and submitting to the authority of the Jesus of Scripture, the church, thinking because of what mankind can achieve, has created a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. Because the Jesus of the Bible doesn't fit in with man's plans. Nor will he ever. He will not ever fit in with man's plans. Because man wants a salvation that he can have a part in. Let me say it better than that. Man wants to be right with God and feel like I achieved it. I was good enough. That's part of the sin nature. You can grow any church to over 5,000. It's not hard to do. Just appeal to man's sin nature. Tell him God loves you and you, nothing's required of you, no change is required of you. Just come and be loved and let God bless you. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus of Scripture hates sin. He hated it so much, knowing that we could not extricate ourselves from its ugly tentacles, that he bore our cross, that he took our cross up Calvary's hill. It should have been us on that cross. He did no wrong. He was God in the flesh. And he shed his precious blood that he didn't have to do because his blood was sinless. And for God's justice to be met, a penalty for sin had to be paid. You need to know that God's a great God of love, but he's a God of justice. Sin will be judged. A penalty for sin will be paid. But God, in his great grace and mercy in sending Jesus Christ, has offered mankind a great opportunity. You can have your sin judged before me when you stand before me. And every soul who's ever breathed will walk in and stand before him one day. You can have your sin judged before me, in which you're going to be found wanting and you're going to be cast into an eternal burning lake of fire. Or you can put your faith in the one I sent for you, my son Jesus Christ, and I judged your sin in his place. My Lord, that's what the cross was all about, was God's judgment and God's justice being poured out because somebody had to pay a penalty for it. A penalty had to be paid for the broken law and for sin. And this Jesus that we read about this morning in this book of Hebrews is the one who lived a perfect life and had perfect blood flowing through his veins. And that's what it required to pay that penalty for sin. And he willingly did it for you and I. Hallelujah. He did it for the entirety of the world. Glory to God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's something to shout about. Notice it said, whosoever believeth, not whosoever doeth the work, whosoever goeth through 40 days of purpose. No, we cannot change our lives. But when we put our faith and trust exclusively in him, he sends the Holy Spirit and provides deliverance and provides power to change. Hallelujah. That's why the human spirit, so bound, cannot change itself. It takes this Jesus Christ, who is the same. Hallelujah. His power has not diminished one iota. His grace and mercy has not diminished one iota. His love has not diminished one iota. And He is still the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. I want to lift Him up. I want to hold Him up. When people come to our church, I want them to see Jesus. I don't want them to see how pretty we are, how talented we are, what a great service we can put together. It's all for nothing if people come to this church and they don't feel the supernatural movement of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! And our Jesus is the one who provided all that for us through His vicarious atoning death on the cross. He's the same. He's the same. In a world that changes but a second, Jesus Christ is the same. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit moving mightily on hearts and lives this morning. Some of you, this is your day to be set free. This is your day to be delivered. This is your day to meet the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I'm not talking about some little namby-pamby esoteric Jesus. I'm talking about the Lord of glory wants to come into your heart today and wants to deliver you today and wants to set you free from sin and wants to provide you with this glorious power that will change your heart and life. As you look at your life now, you may feel like I'm such a mess. Well, you're right. All of us are. Nobody's perfect in the flesh after coming to Christ. Jesus Christ. He just begins to work on us. And by faith, we're perfected in Him. Through faith in His precious shed blood, He sees us as perfect in the spirit realm. But He sends the Holy Spirit to start working on us in the natural. To make us less of a mess. To make us less of a mess. I was talking with somebody the other day who the Lord had delivered from alcohol and drugs. And we were talking about their past life. And he said, I went to a number of churches. And this was a guy who attended a former church I used to pastor. He said, I went to a number of churches trying to get free from this alcohol and drugs. He said, they all told me to do different things that I tried. He said, I'd be back in the bar drinking within a week. But he said, when I heard you preach of how I couldn't change my life, that Jesus had to be the one to do it for me, that I had no power to change, but that if I would give it to Him, He would do it. He said, that's when I got delivered. That's when all the pills that the psychologist had me on, trying to help me out. I'm going to tell you, you can't take enough pills to wipe away the ravages of sin. And that's part of what man believes in this modern world. Most, I believe. Let me say this better than I was going to say it, because somebody will get real mad at me if I don't say this right. We're all flawed due to the fall. We're the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. We're all born really insane. We are. We're born with a lot of psychological problems. We come into this world that way because we're sinners. And as we live and grow, if we don't give our lives to Christ, we're just on a downward spiral. So we're all flawed in that way. We all got psychological problems. But when those problems, if we don't come to Christ and allow Him to do His mighty work in us, those psychological issues and problems will begin to gain a grip on us. And what they are, they're rooted in the fall. They're rooted in sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're all in some form or fashion rooted in sin. Man's psychological problems, they're due to the fall. God made us perfect. But where mankind errs and where the medical secular world believes they have become so brilliant and so advanced that they can give you pills to make the ravages of sin go away. And that's what people with most psychological problems, that, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a little bit scared to broach this subject, but I feel the Holy Spirit leading me this direction. They cannot prove there's such a thing as bipolar disorder. They really can't prove there's... the basic essence of bipolar disorder is, well, one day you're real low and down, and then one day you could have a real high, and maybe some days you're in the middle, and if you're up and down like that, well, you're bipolar. You know what they've just described? A person bound by sin. That's a perfect depiction of someone who's bound by sin. Because I'm going to tell you something, the highs in sin are very high. Man, you'll have yourself a good old time for a while. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You'll have yourself a good old time drinking and partying and running around. Anybody who tells you you won't don't know what they're talking about. That's why people get addicted to cocaine and heroin. It produces what? What do they call it? A high. But when you come down off of it, where are you? I got to go get something else. I need to get that again. That's exactly how sin operates. The sin nature operates on mankind. In sin, there's great high moments. But when the conviction and the ravages of the results of that sin come, it's very low. And the psychological community has identified, they wouldn't call it this, but they've identified clearly the sin nature. And they say, we can give you a pill that'll straighten this out. And they give you a pill that's 10 milligrams. Say, come back and see me in a month. Well, it helped some days, but it didn't help overall, doc. Well, here, I'm going to give you one for 20 milligrams then. Next month, I'm back. Yeah, that helped a little bit more. Well, here's 30 milligrams for this one. And then here, I'm going to give you this other one that works with that one. And then you'll be all right. And to where they have the human soul and spirit so numb, eventually that individual can hardly function. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ can straighten out these minds of ours. He's the only one who can. I'll never forget it. One time I was reading an article pertaining to psychology. And this was a psychologist by the name of Martin Bobkin, who left the psychological community after he found Jesus Christ. He saw what it was, that it was really no help at all for anyone, just a bunch of theories and educated guesses. That's the best mankind can give you. But he was asked to testify once about, as he worked with prisoners, he said there was a particular bank robber. And they asked him, they said, what can you do with this man? Because we believe he's insane. And we want to see if there's anything you can do to help him stop robbing banks. And this was just before he found the Lord. And he told that courtroom, he said, if you give me this man, the very best I can give you back, this insane bank robber, the very best I can give you back is a sane bank robber. I want you to think about that. That's the very best man can do, because what that bank robber needs is a change of spirit. And only Jesus Christ can give that change of spirit. A program won't do it. I'm glad he's unchangeable. In this crazy world, the one thing we can take assurance in is that Jesus Christ is never going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And that means God's plan of redemption is not going to change. It means how God's power is given to mankind is not going to change. The Holy Spirit is poured out through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if the cross isn't declared as the hope of humanity, there can be no Holy Ghost power in the church. If the church is not preaching the cross, which is the power of God, the grace of God, and the love of God revealed to all of mankind, there will be no hope, there will be no change, there will be no power. But when you lead an individual to Jesus Christ, who is unchangeable, immutable, and glorified, He will give the power to make a change. He'll make the change. Hallelujah. That's why we don't need to be out looking for a new way. I love how they say it. Well, we need to make Jesus culturally relevant. Well, woo-tee-too. Doesn't that sound like high and mighty words? We need to make Him culturally relevant. Let me tell you something. He's the Lord of glory. He's relevant already. You don't need to make Him anything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the answer when He walked the earth. He was the answer when God framed the world. He was the answer today, and He will be the answer throughout the eons of time. Hallelujah. He's mankind's only hope. He's not a hope. He's our only hope. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Make Him culturally relevant. You know what culture is? Man's ways of doing things. That's what many churches have tried to do to Jesus. They've made Him a cultural Jesus. You know, He wasn't welcomed in the synagogues and the houses of worship in His day. You know, that ain't changed a whole lot. Jesus ain't welcomed in a lot of churches today. Because when He comes, He doesn't come to play spiritual tiddlywinks, so to speak. He comes to deliver, He comes to pour out power, and He comes to change us. And there's where the issue is. Although He is unchangeable, most humans really don't want to change. They really don't want to. Most of them claiming to be born-again Christians don't really want to allow Him to be a daily and have a daily effect on their lives. Because they want a Savior that, I believe I read it on Facebook this week. David, I believe it was you that put it up there. They want a Savior that just says, raise your hand, come shake the pastor's hand, and you're born again. That don't do it. Until that individual surrenders in totality to His Lordship and gives their whole being over to Him, placing their faith in what He did on the cross, that's when the born-again experience takes place. That's when the power of the Holy Spirit enters the spirit of that individual and imparts to them the benefits of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's unchangeable. That's never going to change. That system of how God saves an individual is never, never, never going to change because Jesus doesn't change. When He bowed His head on the cross and said, it is finished, that was it. Nothing more needs to be added or changed about that finished work He did on the cross. And that work was to deliver mankind from the ravages and bondages of sin. And that's why, as much as everything is changing in this world, with mankind's technological knowledge becoming so advanced, we must never make the mistake of thinking that Jesus changes. He doesn't. He's the same. Yesterday and today, right now, and forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus and Him crucified. That should be the only message of the church. You know, I've shared this with you before, but as I close, it's worth sharing, I believe, again. I saw some ads this week of Japanese fast food. Because, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken, all the big fast food chains, they're all over the world now. But you know what? In that Japanese McDonald's, they showed the picture of the Big Mac. And it looked just like the one you can go right up the road here and get. You know, McDonald's is a lot smarter than the church is. Really. in their marketing. You know, you hear a lot about marketing in the church today. They've got it beat all over us because they've got the sense to know that what we produce in one place and what has made us successful in one place doesn't need to be changed. It's the very same thing that'll make us successful in another place. Let me ask you a question real quick. How many McDonald's you ever seen go out of business? Huh? As I was preparing for this message, I'm sure it's happened. But I'm saying, how many of them you ever seen go out of business? And the one down here on the corner is exactly like the one in Osaka, Japan. Why? Their product is exactly the same. It tastes the same. It looks the same. That's what the church, would to God that the church would learn that. That what we need to offer in every house of worship is simply Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. And why should we offer that? Because it is God's unchanging plan. Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're bound by sin. Maybe your body cries out for a dose of drugs every day of your life. Maybe your heart broke this morning over something that happened to you. Jesus is your answer. And the way He is the answer is by putting your faith in what He did for you on the cross. And the Holy Spirit of God will give you His power that can heal any hurt, that can heal any problem, that can deliver from any situation. But you're not going to get it by going through grief counseling or any other kind of counseling. You'll get it by the power of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit told me to offer today. I didn't know who was going to be here, but He gave me very specific instructions and said, today you offer them My power. And His power is the only thing that can heal a hurt, that can heal a wounded heart, that can fix a damaged, sin-benighted spirit. And only Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith in what He did at the cross, can take away a want-to drink. See, I know Alcoholics Anonymous, I have people stand up for every meeting they go to. My name is Greg, and I'm an alcoholic. That's foolish. The Bible declares you're a new creature in Christ Jesus if you give your heart to Him. And Jesus will take away that want-to drink. AA can't do that. Jesus will take away the want-to drink. He'll deliver and take away the want-to do drugs if you'll give your life over to Him. He loves you that much, and His power is that awesome. And the good news is, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who opened blinded eyes, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, and rose from the dead Himself. He's the same. He loves the sinner just the same. And He alone has the power to deliver and to set free. And He'll do it for you this morning. He'll do it for you. But what will be required of you? You have to give Him everything. All that you are. And you must admit to Him that you are a helpless, hopeless sinner who cannot change nor deliver yourself. He'll give you new life. He'll give you eternal life. And that will never change. In a world around you that is changing by the second, that is the confidence we believers in Jesus Christ have, those of us that have put their faith and trust in Him. We know He will never change. He's going to love us. He's going to send His Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to heal us, and to make us more like Him. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus now. And Lord, I know there are some under the sound of my voice. They need delivered from sin's power. And Lord, through this message, it's quite possible they felt very uncomfortable. That's a good thing. Because what that is, if you felt very, very uncomfortable through this, what's going on, you may not even realize, what's going on is the Holy Spirit letting you know you're not right with God.
There's sin there that you need to deal with. But he's convicted you. Pointed out that, yes, you're not right with God because he loves you, not to be mean to you. And if you felt uncomfortable, that's a good thing if you're not right with God. He's letting you know what that preacher has told you is right. I am your answer. I am what you need to change your life and to deliver you from the power of sin. And I alone can do it. It's a precious thing to feel his conviction, to have him make an individual feel uncomfortable. Don't push him away. You can. Man's the only of God's creatures that can tell him no. But when we tell him no, we do so to our own peril and we remain in our sinful bondage, not able to change our lives or get ourselves out of the sin that is besetting us and causing us so much trouble. That's what he went to the cross for. That's what he shed his blood for. He took your place so that he could offer not only his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, but offer his precious blood to God the Father. So that when you put your faith in him, God can send you the power of the Holy Spirit to make the change in your life that needs to be made. We can't do it on our own. No matter what anybody tells you, you cannot do it on your own. You'll never do it on your own. Willpower will not succumb to the sin nature, or the sin nature won't succumb to human willpower. It's no match, and we're all born sinners, unfortunately. Only Jesus, who is the same, can deliver. If you need his forgiving, delivering power this morning, and I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, and you might have thought, well, Pastor, you just spoke against this, raising of hands. Raising your hand is not going to save you. You say, why are you asking? With every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't really even need to know. I'm not asking for me. The reason I'm asking is that when you raise that hand, you're making an admission to him to say, Jesus, I need you. I'm admitting I can't change my life. I'm admitting I'm bound by sin. And I need you. I need you to save me. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to provide me with Holy Ghost power to change my life. And I'm ready to hand it over to you now. If that's you, are there any at all who, by uplifted hand, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I promise you, I will not embarrass you. That's not what this is about. But say, I need Jesus this morning. Would you slip up a hand right now? Right now, without hesitation. We won't embarrass you, I promise. Are there any at all? Are there any at all? I'm bound by sin. I can't change my life. And I'm telling you that sin is going to destroy you. It will anybody. And I just feel the Holy Spirit really reaching out to some this morning to say what that preacher's telling you is the truth. You need Jesus. Jesus is your only hope. One last time, and I won't beleaguer the point. Are there any at all? Pastor, I need Jesus. I'm not right with God. I need Jesus. Any at all? I'm going to ask everyone who would you stand? And I feel now the Holy Spirit leading me to turn the service toward the believers. I hope you could see, and prayerfully as we preached it, the Holy Spirit gave you the revelation that even as believers who've been washed in the blood of Jesus, we still can't change our lives on our own. It still takes his power to mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's a process that's going to go on until we're called home to be with him in glory. Big word for it is sanctification. You could call it being made Christ-like, being conformed into Christ's image, to use it to say it a simpler way. And God loves you. This Jesus has not changed for you, saint of God. He's still the same. And he loves you. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling you because of your faith in him. And just as we stand here in his presence these last few moments before we pray, The Lord is moving on me to remind you that that power will heal and fix anything that's going on in your life. Anything. Anything. Because Jesus Christ, the Jesus you gave your heart to, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. He loves you. He loves you. And bring your brokenness to the cross today, believer. This world in which we live, Jesus made no guarantees that we would be unscathed by it. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But then He went on and said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Let the Holy Spirit work in you right now. I feel Him telling me there's maybe 40, 50 people here this morning. There's 40 or 50 different things that the Holy Spirit wants to do, and I can't name them all. But you know, and He knows. And He'll help you in a very powerful way because of your faith in Jesus. If you'll bring your brokenness and your trouble to Him right now, your difficulty, bring it to Him right now, whatever it may be, between you and Him, very personal. I don't need to know. I can't help you anyway. That's why going to a church and confessing your sins to a man won't do you no good. That man can't help you. But Jesus loves you. Remember, He went to the cross for you. Remember, He filled you with His Spirit when you put your faith in Him. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart right now. In whatever way, open your heart wide to Him, to the Holy Spirit, and let Him execute the will of Jesus Christ and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ into your spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, we come to You. And Lord, we come broken. Lord, though You have made us whole by faith in what You did at the cross, we still need work done in these fleshly tabernacles. And Lord, whatever this world has hurled at us, maybe something we didn't deserve, Lord, maybe it's a worry or a fear, Lord, possibly it could be a sin we're struggling with. And on that issue of sin, Lord, I feel You leading me to remind us all, You won't quit on us as long as we keep acknowledging it's a sin and I don't want to do it. You'll keep working with us, Lord Jesus. You won't give up on us. And in the name of Jesus, we come today presenting our broken lives afresh and anew to the victory that You won for us on the cross. We bring our heartaches, we bring our brokenness, we bring our fears, we bring our doubts, we bring our sin to the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, as we place our faith in Your precious shed blood, we ask for a renewal of mercy, which we know You'll give. Send Your Holy Spirit to do a mighty work in us. And open up your heart to Him right now. He will not refuse you. You're His child. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the power of the Holy Spirit penetrate every heart right now. All of us, Lord, we need You, Jesus. We thank You for the assurance, Lord, that in this crazy world, You will never change. You will always be our constant. You will always be our hope. You will always be our Savior. You will always love us. You will always stand ready to give us grace. And we are eternally grateful for that. You will always stand ready to send Your power into our heart and lives when we submit to You in every area. Work in us today, Holy Spirit of God, in whatever way we would need. And Lord, I'm grateful it doesn't take You long. Lord, change is being affected right now. There's a powerful move of Your Spirit going on. I sense it. We thank You for the grace of the Holy Spirit working actively in our lives. And I thank You, Lord, that we're going to see, I know by faith, we're going to see significant changes that were made at this moment in time because we submitted to Your power and Your way. Thank You, Lord, for Your unchanging love, grace, and mercy in person. Lord Jesus, we praise and honor You today. Amen and amen. Would you give Him a hand of praise today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to ask Brother Emerson if he would come at this time and dismiss us in this portion of service and prayer. And he's got an announcement he wants to make about prison ministry. We're having a baptismal service today. For those of you that want to be baptized, I would dismiss you now. I guess, ladies, you can go over here to this room on my right and start changing. And if there's any men that are being baptized, I believe there's several, you can come over here to this room and start changing. Or if you can go to the restroom. You can be dismissed to go do that now. And Ravana, you may need to help a few of them, if you would. Thank you, Chris, for turning off the baptistry there. Ladies over here, and gentlemen, you can come over here to this side. I'm really proud of all these young people. They've been on. Yeah, praise the Lord. They were saved back in. A lot of them were saved back in Ravana and Paula and Jessica's classes they have on Wednesday night. And, man, they have been on me for about a month. They said, we want to be baptized. And to me, that's a precious thing. Some may look and think, well, they're just young kids. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So this is a very beautiful and precious time to me. Before Brother Emerson prays, if you can't stay with us for the baptismal service, we understand. You can just consider yourself dismissed after his prayer. But it's been a joy and delight to be with you in God's house this morning, and just pray you have a blessed week. And Brother Emerson, you can make your announcement and then dismiss in prayer those that have to leave at this time.